Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook, the penultimate show, day number 12, Championship Week Friday. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined from their bunkers by John Slica and David Griggs. David, how's life in the Poppin' Bunker?
It's cramped. A lot of TVs in here, though. A lot of TVs. We can get about, I think it's 11 games going at once when we need to.
That wasn't enough for today, I don't think, was it?
Not so much for yesterday. Today, I think we got them all.
And will it be enough for tomorrow?
Yeah, Saturday. I mean, tomorrow is busy, but not nearly as busy as the last 2 days have been.
We have, what we do in the show is we review some news and notes. We go over a review of all the conference tournament games that happened, preview the ones that are coming up, update our survival board, have a lot more we're going to do. On the news and notes front, not much in terms of news and notes today, other than we have a little bit of controversy that we started here regarding our Stolens Award that we awarded last night to Vanderbilt.
Well, Vanderbilt was the most – they didn't win a conference game, although there was debate on whether or not they should get it because they did beat two Pac-12 teams, and it was discussed awarding the entire Pac-12 conference the Stallings Award, which I was in favor of.
Well, but we had somebody on Twitter who came out and said, hey, listen, this is one of the biggest offenses since Tulsa was put in the NCAA tournament that we chose – Vanderbilt over Cal. So, John, did we make a mistake?
I don't think we made a mistake. Not when you consider how badly Vanderbilt faltered since the beginning of SEC play.
No, they were – well, the other thing is that it was a Stallings school.
Right, yeah. Kevin Stallings coached there.
Right.
And the award is named after him. So, next year we're giving it to, Illinois State? He also coached that, right?
Right, yeah, we'll give it to them next year.
Okay. Well, Kevin Stallings coaches at Cal next year. We can certainly consider them.
The man is making $9 million after crashing Pitt into a mountain.
A few other quick notes. Marvin Menzies out at UNLV. Shaka Smart not out at Texas. He will be back next year.
Okay.
And
that would have been a mistake to get rid of him.
Shaka?
Yeah.
I think it's more of a money thing personally, but.
And then Chad said
they have to pay. I mean, what's his contract? You have to – I mean, they can't
– he has like a $12 million buyout, so yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, coaches aren't fired. We're not making light of someone that just lost their livelihood. When coaches get fired, it's not in the sense that you or I get fired. They get paid very well.
And then Chad also brought up that Jim Fox at Appalachian State is out, out, out.
He's out.
I don't know how well.
That's not really newsworthy, I don't think. But ACC next year starting conference play on November 5th and 6th, the start of the season, with the launch of the ACC Network. So that's kind of exciting. Conference games on opening night next year.
Yeah, they had talked about doing that for a while, never done it. Next year, I guess they're going to try it. Interesting idea.
Every team other than Duke will be playing a conference game. Duke will be playing Kansas in the Classic. So they get a pass.
Now, is it the whole weekend or is it just one?
2 days.
It's 2 games. Okay.
No, 2 days, one game for each team.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be the byproduct of a 20-game conference schedule the ACC is going to start next year.
Right. Let's get to this year, and we're talking ACC. Let's start it off in the ACC, where, as we mentioned last night, we had probably the greatest semifinals in terms of the quality of the teams for the season that we've ever seen in a conference tournament, and the games really lived up to them too, David, especially that Carolina-Duke game.
Yeah, it really did. The games during the year, Carolina didn't blow them out. I don't want to overstate it, but they won handily, not having to sweat. Duke with Zion Williamson for the first – well, other than the first 30 seconds of the first game. And it was back and forth. It was nip and tuck. It felt like for a while the whole game was played within a 10-point window. And Carolina – yeah, I think there were multiple lead changes in the last minute, and Carolina had a chance to win at the end, couldn't get it done. It bruises. It's upsetting, but it really doesn't mean anything. And at this time next week, it's going to be the last thing either team is thinking about, which is sort of funny when you get these big rivalries in these conference tournaments. As big as and intense as and as hot as it seems in the moment, in literally 96 hours, no one's even going to be thinking about this game at all.
And the other game, though, John, Florida State got a lead on Virginia and kind of just held them off the entire game. Was very impressive and has a real shot at not only a three seed, but they beat Duke tomorrow. Could we talk two line for this for the Noles?
It's hard to believe that we're into March and someone other than Duke has now beaten the Hoos right here. You look at what Florida State has done. They've beaten Virginia Tech, nice. Beaten Virginia, real nice. And if they are able to pull off the trifecta and beat Duke, I think a three or a two could be on the table for the Noles.
Yeah, I think so too, because when you look at what one seeds have done, they typically beat protected seeds on the road. This would be beating 2-1 seeds, maybe, while not in true road games, away from home. That is more than what we've seen one seeds in the past do. Now, maybe not these one seeds. I'm not saying Florida State will get up there, but they could be a two. It wouldn't be outrageous. That is way, way more than what anyone else has done, especially if they get the win tomorrow.
Right. Now, if I were trying to guess the selection committee like Titel, I'm not sure I would put Florida State that high because they don't seem to be putting as much emphasis on conference tournaments as committees past.
Well, and then we've got some people that are angry that they're watching the conference tournaments at all.
Yeah, but let's move on. The Big East Conference, it was semifinal day in the Big East as well. We saw let me start with you. Your team, Xavier, gave Villanova a battle, but just didn't quite have enough there, and overtime came along, and that was it.
Well, strangely enough, in 6 years of Big East Conference play, there has not been a close game, much less an overtime game between the two schools. But needless to say, Xavier did have a chance to win it at the end of regulation, but Najee Marshall gets called for a somewhat controversial charge against Colin Gillespie from Villanova.
It was a good call.
And Villanova did get the momentum in overtime.
All right. And David, in the late game, Seton Hall, a real good game, a real nice win over Marquette. And now is on the verge of doing exactly what I said they would do, is winning the conference tournament tomorrow against Villanova.
Yeah, two real exciting games. A little bit of a dust up in this game. I thought that were there ejections?
There were ejections. I think for Marquette, there were two guys ejected and one for Seton Hall. Let me finish. It was Theo John and Mamu Kaleshavili for Seton Hall who were ejected for fighting, and one other Marquette player. I think it was Sakara Neem who actually picked up his second technical in the process, which would have triggered an ejection. So I think Theo John could be suspended for the NCAA tournament game, but not Aneem if it was just simply two technicals.
Right. A little bit, I think a little more was made out of that than what it should. I mean, it was more shouting than it was fighting. In fact, it wasn't a fight, they said it was. But again, like the media wanted to talk to Marquette about it after the game and weren't allowed in, which I think is hilarious. I love watching the media meltdown on Twitter whenever they can't go into someone else's locker room.
It's their locker room. It's not the media's locker room.
It's like you don't need to go into a place where people shit, shower, and shave to talk to them. Wait outside.
There'll be a press conference. Talk to them then. Come on. Let's move on to the Big 12, where I actually had a chance to be on Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland radio show this afternoon. Shout out to him for thanking for having me on. But we talked a little Big 12 there, and the question was, was Texas Tech have a shot at the three line? Did somebody else? And with what happened today, Iowa State upsetting Kansas State, David, I think there is a shot for a Big 12 team on the three line, and it might be depending on whether Kansas wins tomorrow or not.
Yeah, after being sort of unimpressive, at least on the road for most of the year, Kansas playing really well in this tournament. Now, they haven't exactly been facing Murderer's Row. Tomorrow they face Iowa State. It's the first time they've played a team with a winning record, or at least a current winning record in this tournament. So it'll be one of their toughest tests. And Iowa State has had remarkable luck in the Big 12 tournament. They've won it a lot, not last year, but in the 2 years prior to that. So should be fun.
Yeah, and Iowa State, a team that was reeling heading into this tournament, blew out Baylor, now got a real nice win over K-State. And so, John, who do you think wins this game?
I think Kansas is going to enjoy the quasi-home court advantage.
Okay. Another conference that was in semifinal round today, we watched it just before we came on the air here, was the Pac-12. where we were talking about the possibility for a bid thief. Washington just could not put away Colorado the whole game, but they found a way to win. And then in overtime, Oregon beats Arizona State to set up a championship game, David, tomorrow. Washington and Oregon, and a definite bid could be stolen here if you think that Washington is in already.
Yeah, it definitely could, and it should be a fun one. Oregon, you had called it, entered this tournament with a big head of steam, and they've kept it going. That was a exciting but very poorly executed game. At least
it was bad basketball. Yeah. Sorry. It was just bad basketball, the Arizona State-Oregon game.
Yeah. But I mean, this Washington Oregon rivalry, it's a lot of fun. It's I think when the bracket came out, we were hoping it would play out this way, and it is. So should be good theater if nothing else.
John, Arizona State, are they done now, or could they still hear their names called like and then surprise us like they did last year and get in?
They'll probably be sweating, but I think the real committee is probably leaning more towards putting them in. We'll find out later in the show just what our committee would think of the Sun Devils at this stage.
Right. It was also semifinal day in the Mountain West, where last year, David, San Diego State upset Nevada in the semifinals. This year it was going to be a lot different. Nevada is such a good team, and San Diego State upset.
Yeah, San Diego State, again, after not being inside the bubble at the start of the tournament, a chance to go dancing. They face Utah State, who, while – you know, they kind of had to sweat New Mexico a little bit, not sweating at all today, just blowing Fresno to kingdom come. If the final margin was 25, then they came back at the end, because I think it was a 35 when I turned it over.
Yeah, and this Utah State-San Diego State game, there's people that say Utah State's in. There's others that say they are out. If you think that they are in right now, again, we are looking at another bid stolen and a possibility, basically, for a three-bid Mountain West. I personally don't see it. I think if San Diego State wins, it's going to be a two-bid conference either way. Yeah. But it could be a three-bid conference. It's possible. John, Atlantic 10, it was quarterfinal round day today, where we want to talk about bids being stolen. There has been a bid stolen here in the A-10.
Now, we can assure you this is not going to be a three-bid Atlantic 10. But this actually seems like the bracket from last year in some respects, where Rhode Island and Davidson move on, but that's not chalky this year. BCU, on the other hand, did suffer a devastating injury about midway during their game, and now
I wouldn't call it devastating. They're talking about they're saying it was just a strain. It was not. No ligament damage or anything, so he might be back for the tournament.
Yeah, I think they are expecting him back, but you're right. I mean, VCU was the only team inside the bubble. I don't even know if anybody else was on the board, although Davidson may have been. But yeah, it's gonna a bid stolen, a bubble popped, whatever you want to call it. Really, a bid is not opening, is what it is.
Right, but VCU should be in no matter what.
Yeah, I think so.
And in the late game of the day also, the Arch Barron Cup.
The Arch, yes.
Dayton and St. Louis. We saw the mild upset there. St. Louis knocking out Dayton, who I thought might have a shot to win this tournament. Who won the MVP, Stalika?
The Harewood Horse Trophy. I did not get that result, unfortunately.
Well, you're just off the show.
Yeah.
Big Ten Conference. We can't give the Hereford Horse Trophy. Ten Conference. It was also quarterfinal round day today. David, we saw a real good game between Wisconsin and Nebraska, actually.
Surprisingly, Nebraska really hanging in there. And this is a Wisconsin team that's flirting with a protected seed. And, you know, they beat Maryland rather handily yesterday. And you're wondering where this was all year long, especially once they got down to six players. Nebraska, I mean, pretty much safely in. We're pretty sure Ohio State's in. Ohio State winning one Big Ten tournament game. Nebraska winning two, double that. So,
Nebraska is done. I want to give a shout-out, first of all, to Tom Izzo, 600 career win today, and that win over Ohio State in the quarterfinal game. But, John, how about the bottom of the bracket? We saw a real good game between Minnesota and Purdue, and a surprising Minnesota victory there, I thought.
If there was any doubt about the Gophers coming into the tournament, they've erased those doubts with the win against Purdue. On the other hand, they're also going to be going up against a Big Ten tournament juggernaut in Michigan tomorrow. So I don't see the Gophers advancing any further, but they've done enough that they should be fairly comfortable on selection Sunday now.
Yeah, beyond comfortable.
Yeah, no, and Michigan very impressive over Iowa. David, Michigan State, Wisconsin, the other semifinal tomorrow. I think it'll be a good one there.
Yeah, I really think it will be too.
SEC, it was quarterfinal round day, and we saw another NIT bid being locked up because a one seed fell, right?
One seed goes down to Florida. Real good win for the Gators here. Yeah. LSU led for most of the game. And then they had but Florida kept it close. And then they had something you don't see very often, a six-point play compounded by a technical foul at a very inopportune time for LSU. Not that there's ever a good time to have that. But the Gators getting the win, and I think, I mean, if there was any question before, I don't think there's any question now.
Well, LSU actually had another shot there because Naz Reid hit a three to put them up tie the game, and then Nembhard hit the three with like about a second and a half left or so to give Florida the win. They go up against Auburn, who ended Angry Frank and South Carolina's streak there. But John, bottom half of the bracket saw Kentucky and Tennessee both kind of roll.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the de facto championship game here in the semifinal, with the winner getting the inside track to a number one seed right here. Auburn might be able to surprise one of those two in the championship game should they make it that far, but I still think Kentucky is probably going to be the slight favorite to come out of the SEC now.
Yeah, and Alabama with that loss, I think they really kind of needed that win. I personally think they're going to be on the outside looking in on Sunday at this point. Even though it would have been a huge win, but they needed something like that. Right. Florida-Auburn, David, you got a pick for that game? All right, you got a pick for both games. How about Kentucky-Tennessee, too?
I'm going to go with Tennessee and Auburn.
Okay. Let's go on to the American Athletic Conference, where we were all looking forward to Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati Temple. Instead, we're getting Houston, Memphis, Cincinnati, Wichita.
Yeah, Memphis just trucked UCF. I mean, just dump trucked them, as Stolica would say.
Dump trucked them.
and how well has Memphis been playing in the latter part of the season, and especially in this tournament? You kind of got to wonder here. It's going to be a virtual home game. They get to play Houston. It's going to be a pretty good atmosphere. Houston not needing to win, Memphis needing to win the tournament. Would it shock you if Memphis pulled the upset tomorrow?
It would actually shock me. I think Houston's head and shoulders better than Memphis.
Yeah. Nice little fun fact. This is actually the same Final Four in the American that we had last year with Cincinnati and Houston making the title game. Now, Wichita State could be a little bit of a spoiler, so the Bearcats better be on upset alert for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that is the more likely upset than the Memphis-Houston game, even if the games are in Memphis, but that's my thought on it at least.
Yeah.
The Mid-American Conference, we almost saw another bid get stolen here as Sleeka Buffalo was in tons of trouble against Central Michigan tonight.
Central Michigan had been playing some of their best ball coming into the game. Buffalo did survive, but I think the story for tonight, honestly, was Bowling Green jumping out to a 23-point lead at halftime and nearly melting down before managing to survive against a game Northern Illinois team.
And Bowling Green team now with a shot to make their first NCAA tournament in over 50 years if they can pull off the upset tomorrow. So, David, the big question is, can the Falcons do it?
Yeah, they can. I'm not going to pick them, but they've beaten them once already. We've seen Buffalo kind of stumble a little bit today. Buffalo's really good. I think they really want to win this tournament. It isn't one of those things that they think it would be nice to win, but they don't really care that much. I do think they really want to win it, but Bowling Green can beat them. I mean, we've seen them do it.
It was also semifinal day today in the Big Sky Conference, where we didn't really have much in terms of competitive games, as Montana and Eastern Washington both rolled. So let's just get right on to what's going to happen tomorrow. Dave, you want to take this one here, Montana versus Eastern Washington?
Well, normally, I mean, my common sense tells me to pick Montana, but Eastern Washington, not just in this tournament, but in the last couple of weeks of the season, has been playing really, really well. It took them a long time to kind of get going. Even by under-the-radar standards, their profile is not that good. So while I'm going to stick with my pick in the Grizz, it wouldn't shock me if Eastern Washington beat them.
And John, Conference USA was semifinal day, and we had a real good game between ODU and UAB.
I'm starting to wonder how many lives Jeff Jones and Old Dominion have, because this is the second day in a row where they were able to eke out a close game. Now, Western Kentucky, they've been a tough out in conference tournaments in the past with Ray Harper, but Rick Stansberry also on the doorstep of making his return to the NCAA tournament for the first time in, I would say, about a decade after Mississippi State.
Yeah, Xavier Green winning the game there for Old Dominion. Now we got the top two seeds, which is a little bit rarity in Conference USA in recent years, though. But it should be a fun game tomorrow. Western Kentucky team that has underperformed all season, has a chance to make the big dance. And either one of these teams could make some noise there, couldn't they?
Yeah, Western Kentucky, a lot of off-the-court issues, especially earlier in the year, but a really, really talented team. Old Dominion, we've seen them do it. They won at Syracuse. I want to say they beat VCU. They did beat VCU. So, like, this would be, for the previous 4 years, this team has won a game in the round of 64.
This conference.
Only one team, this conference has won a game. Thank you. Only one of these teams is getting in. Does the winner do it again?
Ken, I think these are, I do not want to be drawn against either one of these teams in the NCAA tournament. That's all I got to say if my team is in there. Salika, Big West, it was quarterfinals day this evening, where, first of all, in the black and blue game there between Irvine and Long Beach, it was a close one. Actually, both games were really close.
UC Irvine was tested in that one, but I would say about midway through the second half is when Irvine started to take control. And then you had UC Santa Barbara and Cal State Fullerton actually going down to the closing seconds, despite what the final score would tell you. It was a one-possession game going down to the final 10 seconds until Fullerton actually iced it at the free throw line.
Yeah, and David Fullerton now, I think Irvine is a clear favorite tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Fullerton would actually be only one game over 500. They just hit the 500 mark with the win today. Probably destined for a trip to Dayton or close to it if they lose, if they somehow pull off this upset.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I don't think they're going to.
I think it's gonna be a blowout tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That's a late night game. We may be recording our video notebook tomorrow night during this game because it's a blowout already.
Right.
The wacky whack.
Yes.
And the UTRGV Vaqueros gave New Mexico State a game, David.
Yeah, they really did. They were right in there for a lot of it. New Mexico State not getting New Mexico State had a lead for most of it, but UTVRG hanging around and even tying it really late before New Mexico State finally put it away. Not the first time they've had trouble with them. Moving on to face Grand Canyon, and whatever you're doing tomorrow, if you had plans, cancel them. Watch this game. It's going to be great. Even if the game isn't great, just the theater is going to be incredible.
The first game of the season between these two teams at New Mexico State won on a half-court shot at the buzzer. I mean, this is a great rivalry. This has become the top rivalry in the WAC.
And I love how the fans hate each other. And they're going to be in the same building. It's going to be a split atmosphere. You know, it's going to be a split arena with half one for one team, half for another. It's going to be great. It was fun last year, even though the game wasn't that good.
John, can the Lopes do it this year? Can they get that first bid?
They can, but I still think New Mexico State is going to end up beating them for the second year in a row.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen also. It'd be nice to see the Lopes in, but I think New Mexico State's clearly the better team.
I think they are, and I also think that they're the team with the better chance of winning a game in the round of 64. I mean, if the Lopes got there, the Lopes can win this. As evidenced by the fact that they've come so close many times but not been able to beat them. But I just think New Mexico State is built to advance if they get there more so than the Lopes are.
David, let me stick with you here. It was MEAC. It was semifinal day, and there were a pair of pretty close games. Howard was down big, but came back on Norfolk State and got it really close in the NC Central game against A&T as well, setting up NC Central, Norfolk State, and 1-3 seed in one of the most chalky MEAC tournaments we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and again, in chalky and a lot of close games all throughout. I'm still going to stick with Norfolk, but it wouldn't shock me at all if NC Central did it.
John, you going there, Norfolk also?
I'm going with my pick in the Jerome, and that's going to be NC Central.
Nice. I picked NC Central this tournament also, so let's go that way. Southland Conference. It was semifinal day, and we saw a bid handed out to the NIT here. New Orleans with the huge upset over Sam Houston State, who had won this conference going away, and followed by a nightcap where Abilene Christian, who was shorthanded, pulled out a squeaker over Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah, fun day. A couple of really good games. Congrats to New Orleans. I mean, you can, in one sense, you kind of hate for Sam Houston State. They were clearly the better team all throughout the season, although they did kind of collapse at the end and didn't get it done today. But how about Abilene Christian, the resiliency? We thought that they were one of the better stories all year. A recent transition team, even in November and December, they had a bloated record, were really successful all throughout conference play. Then they ended up losing three key players. Was it two or three key players?
I thought players, it was then? Two players. I thought
it was two. Yeah, two key players due to suspension, and you're like, well, there that goes. Well, maybe not. Here they are. Real big win against Southeast Louisiana. The game was close throughout, although Abilene Christian led most of the way. And they have a winnable game tomorrow night. And how exciting would it be to see them in the NCAA tournament?
This is the first time they've ever been in the Southland tournament. They were only eligible for the first time last year, did not qualify.
Right.
And now they are one win away from making the NCAA tournament in their second year of eligibility. I'm excited. I think this will be a great story here if Abilene Christian makes it in.
But by the same token, it would also be a good story if New Orleans makes it for the second time in 3 years after reclassifying to Division One.
They've definitely found their way all the way back here. They've becoming one of the powers in the Southland, especially now that Stephen F. Austin fell off the map this year. Mm-hmm. Sunbelt Conference, John, it was the middle of the seven-layer burrito. What were we on, the cheese layer, the rice, the beans? What happened?
I think it would be the pinto beans since we are now in New Orleans right here. And we're actually going to get a Georgia State and Texas State semifinal, which we probably thought was going to be the championship game preview when you consider these teams were exchanging the conference lead back and forth. But by the same token, don't sleep on a team like a Georgia Southern either, who's also been a snake in the grass just looking to strike.
Yeah, first championship week action for Georgia State and Texas Arlington tomorrow. They had buys into this round, but it is semifinal day. David, do you see either of the lower seeded teams winning?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see both of them winning. Both of them are certainly good enough. I think Georgia Southern will win, and Texas State that Texas State-Georgia State game is going to be a lot of fun. In fact, with all the big power conference games going on tomorrow, I think this is one of the ones I'm looking forward to the most. Both these games, really.
Yeah, and Arlington's an interesting story, too, after they got rid of their head coach for reasons we do not agree with.
There were no reasons.
Two wins away from the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
It was also, we were back in action today in the SWAC with these two semifinals, and Grambling Prairie View was a close game most of the way, but Prairie View did find a way to pull it out. Texas Southern just rolled Alabama State as we thought they would, setting up what could be a fascinating championship game tomorrow. One of the most evenly matched SWAC championship games we've had in a long time, I think.
Yeah, and, both these teams – the thing is, I think Prairie View is probably going to be in the first four. That's where our Tom Tytel has been projecting them. But if Texas Southern wins – considering they have the wins against both Baylor and Oregon, they probably get inside.
I'm projecting either one of these teams to avoid the first four. Now that you've had a few upsets that have filled up those 16 spots. Yeah. I think a 16 seed, but non-first four 16.
Yeah.
I think the sad thing is this would have been the one year in the conference where they would have drawn a great crowd in Houston with Prairie View and Texas Southern.
Good job, Slack.
Slack just can't seem to hit a home run with the tournament.
Who wins tomorrow?
I'm going to go with Texas Southern.
John?
I think this is Prairie View's year, so I'll go with the Panthers in this one.
It is also the very first game we're going to have tomorrow. It's 11 a.m. Eastern. It's going to be starting, I think, in about an hour from now, the time that we're recording. Yeah. America East back in action, the championship game we've been waiting for, UMBC at Vermont. the rematch of the Thriller from last year, won by UMBC, putting them in a position where we knew they would get crushed as a 16 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Ask Virginia what happened after that. But, David, what happens tomorrow?
Well, I don't know. It's just fascinating. Again, with the big win, upset win last year in this tournament, of course, the massive, massive upset in the NCAA tournament that, you know, and then following that, they've played Vermont twice this year. Twice Vermont has been favored. Twice UMBC has won. Tomorrow, Vermont favored again. They've been favored the last three times they've played. UMBC's won all three of them. I should pick UMBC because they keep winning, but I'm not. I'm going to go with Vermont. And I think this is a dangerous Vermont team. Same narrative as last year. If they get to the round of 64, they can really play well and maybe beat somebody. UMBC, probably not.
I'm with you exactly. John, you with us?
I know I've said it before. It's hard to beat a good team three times. UMBC has pulled it twice this year, but I don't see him beating Vermont a third time.
Well, one other conference in action, and it is the final conference to tip things off. It is Ivy League semifinal day. We have not discussed the Ivy League tournament yet. That's the bracket there. Harvard versus Penn in the first semi, Yale Princeton in the second semi. Two questions, John. Let me start with you. What do you see in tomorrow's games, and who wins this event?
I see a lot of unpredictability here when you consider how teams have finished. Penn had to fight like hell just to get into this bracket, and Yale, who looked like they might run away with the conference, has suddenly fallen down to the number two seed right here. But I think playing at home, they're going to have a huge advantage against Princeton and most likely arch rival Harvard.
Howard moves it out, Ivy League team. But did David, Yale and Penn played the last game, last week of the regular season. Penn crushed them, although it was at the Palestra. You know, I mean, are we going to have Penn Princeton, the great rivalry in the championship, Harvard, Yale, or are we going to have a crossover?
I think it's going to be Penn and Yale with Penn winning it.
Hey, we've never seen an undefeated team in the Big Five that wins the championship not make the NCAA tournament. Penn's got to win two more games to keep that streak alive.
Yeah.
On that note, let's move over to the survival board. David, what the hell is a survival board? Oh, well, wait, you know what? Before we get there.
Yeah, we got to do our mock committee here.
Before we get there, we have one other bracket to look at. We have another game tomorrow. Salika, this is just for you. It is Division III championship game tomorrow, and we have a thriller at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on CBS Sports Network between Wisconsin Oshkosh and Swarthmore of Pennsylvania.
Swarthmore,
however you say it.
Yeah, we know Chad has to shout out to his Philly area schools with Swarthmore in the title game right here.
So you got a prediction? You got some insights of some players to watch, some keys to the game?
No keys or players in this one, but I have to rep the Midwest and go with Oshkosh in this one.
All right.
Interesting bracket here, if you look at it. Is it a full 64 or is it still 62?
They do 64 now in D3, I believe. We can scroll down here and take a quick look. Yep. It was a full 64 this year. D2 is still a couple weeks away, but there's the D3 championship tomorrow. So if there's no other games on worth watching, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, turn that one on CBS Sports Network. We're going to take a look at what happened to our mock committee next.
Yeah, I think we got the mock committee.
There it is. John, I know you did a post of this. You want to tell us what happened today a little bit?
Well, what happened is the first thing that we did was we voted four more teams into the field right here after a certain number of spots were guaranteed to open up from the Big Ten, the Big East, the SEC, and the Big 12. So in this round of voting, we had Oklahoma, Florida, TCU, and Joby's favorite team, Utah State, end up cracking the field.
Bad pick. I don't like it. And that will be up for debate tomorrow, whether they stay in. That's all I got to say.
They win, they're in.
If they win, they're in. I'd like to see them win the Mountain West championship game because I don't think they belong in if they lose. Go ahead, John.
And then the next step was we also started to build the master seed list two lines at a time, where the regular committee, they would do it one line at a time. And for us, what we would do is we would take the first group of teams. We would pick out 12 teams, and then the top 12 vote getters would be ranked 1 through 12, and we did this four different times to end up with lines 1 through 8.
Yeah, and these are not the final seeds for anybody by any means. There will be scrubbing and moving around of teams here before it's done. As you can see, we already know that at least two more spots are opening in the field as well. You see all these teams under consideration. Two of them at least are getting in, probably more like four or five of them, though, at the end of the day.
Yeah, because like there's at least two, but like you said, the American and the MAC if wins.
And the Mountain West if Utah State stays in.
Yeah.
And then it's worth noting that by the time our committee meets tomorrow night, the Mountain West game should be going final. So if Utah State wins, it's a moot point. But if they lose, I'm sure there are going to be motions to bring them off the board from either Chad or Joby.
Yeah, and if you see why do I say ACC and Florida next to it? That's just a marker that these are five conferences that have guaranteed to have a spot open. That's why I've listed there. But now let's go to our survival board. David, what the hell is that?
Okay, the survival, well, I mean, again, it's a tool that we have created for the selection committee. They can come here and see what's going on and who they need to be discussing. You just want to make sure they're doing it right. You don't want them to make any mistakes. So we do this for them. And it basically puts everybody in the country into four different categories. Everybody that's still playing anyway, or everyone that isn't playing but that should be considered. We have the teams in bold. Those teams are in the tournament. The committee needs to take those teams. That's why we bolded them so they stand out. There's teams in italics, both Clemson and NC State. While they're not playing, we don't think they should be in necessarily, but we think the committee should look at them. Then there's teams that are just in regular type. You don't need to worry about those teams.
Yeah, like a team like Wichita State, still playing, but don't worry about them. But
right. I mean, if they win the auto bid, then you take them. But if they don't,
Cutting in today, we had 129 teams left. And, David, I think we need a little drum roll here to see where we're at. And as a result of today's action, under 100, 99 teams remain alive to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
That means there's only 31 teams left in here that will not make it. We're running out of teams.
Right. And again, it's been almost 2 weeks. Well, 12 days. We've gone from, is it 351?
351 we started at, yeah.
Yeah, and all the way down to 99 now. So, I mean, things are heating up. 250 teams have been eliminated since postseason tournaments began.
On that note, I guess we only have one order of business left, and that is the fact that we're fixing college. We're fixing things.
Well, we're trying to. We had a great plan. It doesn't seem to be going well.
Well, David, here's the problem. We're trying to fix things this year, and these people you've been tweeting to, what was it, Ja Rule, and who was you tweeted to last night? Well, I don't remember.
We tweeted to Willie Nelson. Biff Henderson.
We're trying to get things done, David.
Biff Tannen, sorry.
David, we should be talking to the NCAA, shouldn't we?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. People that can help.
Well, I think the NCAA could help. We need to be talking to the NCAA. So tonight, we are tweeting to the NCAA. This will get
done. Okay, what's the problem?
Here we go. Hey, let's try to get that up again.
Okay.
Hey, NCAA, I have a serious problem we need to fix. My bathroom sink is clogged and I cannot get it to trade.
Bathroom sink? You're tweeting the NCAA about your bathroom sink?
We got to tweet the NCAA to fix
bathroom college. Sink is what is wrong with college basketball.
No, here's the problem, Chad. They're not going to fix the sink. They're just going to set up a commission to look into the sink.
That would work. On that note, let's go to final thoughts. John, start us off.
Is, they'll probably actually respond. Chad will get his damn sink fixed.
It's hard to believe that with this Saturday coming up, we're only going to have 26 games on the slate, 14 of which are going to be conference championship games tomorrow, and then the remaining 12 are going to be conference semifinals. So by the time we get to next Saturday with the NCAA tournament in full tow, it'll just be 8 games in the NCAA tournament plus a few under the radar-ish NIT, CBI, and CIT games.
Yeah, it is. This is it. We have one more video notebook show. Then we're going to start doing some of our tournament shows after that. But I don't know. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, David. Why don't you finish off the damn show?
Right. And I'll just piggyback off that. I mean, it's just one of those things to where everybody's like, oh, huge wall-to-wall basketball. There's actually fewer games tomorrow than there are in a typical Saturday. It's not even close, actually. There's normally about there's over 100 games most Saturdays, yep. And there's about 30 or 40 that we're paying attention to. Tomorrow, it's, while busy, certainly not the busiest.
Not the busiest, but it should be an exciting one because we have a lot of high-level games. It's not the busiest, but it's not like we have a schedule filled out with, you know, bottom-of-the-barrel MEAC and Southland and games. And we have, you know, Florida State Duke for the ACC championship.
Yeah.
So on that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night with our final Championship Week video notebook. But on behalf of John Salica and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood, and we'll talk to you again real soon.